Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Danny Yunus, Global Operations and Strategy at Logistics Plus. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the path that led you to being a global supply chain strategist at Logistics Plus, or LP for short?
Yeah, I've been in supply chain my entire career. So I was actually at Penn State main campus, graduated in 2006, supply chain and information systems. And from there, I moved back to my hometown of Georgia with a two-year rotation with Staples, the office supplies company. So I was in warehouse and fulfillment with their North American delivery group. So anything back in the day, you'd buy it online on staples.com. It was pretty special to get your product the next day. And Staples helped pioneer that. So I was with the group that internally, we had, you know, our vertically integrated supply chain where an order would drop, it would go to the right warehouse, and we'd pick, pack, and ship and send it to some destination, a house or a business. And it was pretty cool to get it the next day. Of course, that's not necessarily the case now. But so I did 2 years on the ground with Staples, doing stuff inside the four walls of a warehouse, and then moved up to Boston to headquarters. And I was in Boston for about 3 years. And I got into much more of a technology role, a systems role. So they call it warehouse management systems, is the type of software you use inside a warehouse. But we would plug in all these cool types of technology. So picking systems like robots. We pioneered the first warehouse for Kiva systems, which is the autonomous little robots. I don't know if you've seen those. Amazon bought that company, so that made things kind of interesting for Staples since they were a vendor. Also, other picking systems I worked with and did a lot of that for about 3 years. Traveled all over the country. We'd spend a month on site at one warehouse and then go to the next one. And then decided to get my master's at MIT, and it's a very specific program. It's called Supply Chain Management, a one-year program, really special in the sense that you mix with people who are really passionate about the industry. So that was an opportunity of a lifetime, and I took full advantage of it. From there, got into a company called Coyote Logistics in Chicago, and they were a freight technology startup, an electronic brokerage, and they had already been in business for about 7 years by the time I joined. I was there from 2012 to 2015, and in 2015, one of my colleagues from MIT knocked on the door, and he said, "Hey, Danny, I got this idea about doing a startup to solve the biggest problem that's out there, which is the distributed interactions problem for business to business." So I thought about the problem and verified that it was actually a big problem, and basically put in my 2 weeks notice a couple days later. So we hit the road in 2015, and I was on the startup journey for 3 years. And Logistics Plus was actually one of my clients. So they were going to pilot our solution. And I ended up here last summer full time. So I switched things around a little bit. And here I am.
So Danny, you have your master's at MIT and an entrepreneurial background. How has this prepared you for your current role at LP?
Yeah, I think it's about having the right toolkit to solve whatever problem you're working on. In any role that you get into, you always, you know, try to push yourself to learn more, and that's how you're going to get exposed to new things. It's always uncomfortable at first, but you end up learning a lot. With MIT, a lot of the information that they push on you, they call it drinking from the fire hose, because it's like fast and intense and a very, very large amount of work. But you learn a lot of the background of like how these ERPs, these enterprise systems that every giant company uses, what's the logic behind the scenes? So when do we need to reorder XYZ product? Well, that's based off of variability in not only demand and how fast you're depleting that stock, but also the variability on supply. So how long does something take to get from China to the US, for example? Not only the transportation part of that, that has variation, but also the factory has a lead time. It takes them 4 weeks to produce the part. So you have this variation on the front end and on the back end, and no one in the enterprise here cares about that. They just want to enter in the number that they need so that every 6 weeks it triggers a reorder. Like the stuff that's behind the scenes, how things work, that thinking's been done. And at MIT, they teach you to understand the context, but kind of see things at a higher level. And you also get, you know, deep into the weeds, which is how you understand that context. So that's one kind of toolkit that I think was really special about the program there is they teach you all that underlying stuff about supply chain. Then on the entrepreneurial side of things, it's the Wild West. You just need to figure out stuff as you go. And any type of problem in any function of the company that you're running is going to come up, and you got to put on the right hat and solve that problem in real time. So that's a different kind of toolkit.
With your background, it would seem there are many big city tech companies that you could be working for right now. Why Logistics Plus, and why Erie, Pennsylvania?
It's a good question, and I feel like there's two answers that are both truthful. The first is I found a really great woman here, and things were moving in the right direction when I had my startup, and Logistics Plus was a client of ours. Then when I decided not to go forward with the startup, Jim and Yuri and the team at Logistics Plus made a great argument for why it makes sense to be here. And the more I kind of peeled that onion, I realized that this is a great place to be and that the future is quite bright for Erie. So I'm excited about the opportunities not only locally, but the types of problems that Logistics Plus works on. We like weird stuff. We like complex problems. That fits in more acutely with my background than any of the other big companies I've worked with in the past. So I like that about Logistics Plus, and it's very entrepreneurial. They brought me on board and said, Danny, we don't have a title for you. We think that you have the right mindset and the right skills to help make this place better. We want you to be successful. We want LP to be successful. We want Erie to be successful. Don't really know what you're going to be doing next month. Don't really know what you're going to be doing next week, but we want you here. And I love that. That's a lot of rope to hang yourself, but I get in here and I just, you know, I'm the new guy. So I get 6 months as a new person to ask all the dumb questions and start connecting the dots. And I love that kind of work. So there's not many places that afford you that type of opportunity.
You know, Danny, it really sounds like you were kind of the right guy at the right time for LP.
Yeah, I think so. There's a book, I think it's Good to Great, where they say the concept is get the right people on the boat and then, or on the bus, and then put them in the right seat on the bus. And definitely Jim is of that mindset. The team at Logistics Plus really believes that.
Can you tell us about the technology platform patent you filed in 2016, along with a partner for matching demand side and supply side users?
Yeah, the patent we did was part of the initial pitch that we had for our startup, and it's really cool. So think about a marketplace, right, where you can buy and sell things. There's usually a price for that thing, and then maybe the highest bidder, whoever pays the most in, you know, like, let's say an auction or something, can buy that thing. Logistics, specifically transportation, is a unique marketplace in that it's a service. You're not buying a thing, but you're buying a service. And it's really complicated because the variation in those services is pretty high. So there's a lot of factors that are involved with presenting an opportunity on a marketplace and then also presenting a need for that opportunity on a marketplace. So you want to match supply and demand. And I'll give you a quick example. So today with trucking, the way it works is there's these things called load boards. And trucking companies or truck drivers It's a very fragmented industry. There's hundreds of thousands of those companies. Picture, you know, your neighbor who parks his semi in his front yard, maybe. He has his own trucking company, and he's going to be looking for work. Sometimes he's looking for work in Erie. Sometimes he's in St. Louis. Sometimes he's in Reno, Nevada. The location where he is different every time. So he's not selling the same service every time. But there's other attributes to his capacity that he needs to present to the marketplace to sell. What type of truck does he have? When is he in a certain location? What price is he willing to accept? So all these different attributes need to be captured and presented on a marketplace so that someone can consume what he's offering. Now picture your Coca-Cola. You've got a factory in St. Louis, and you want to ship Coca-Cola from St. Louis to Erie, Pennsylvania. How do you find that matching person who's actually going to do the work? But this can be abstracted to other types of marketplaces where you need to match supply and demand. So the patent is a system for matching supply and demand when you've got all these different attributes that you need to take into account. And the way that we did it was very unique. I don't know if you've ever used the dating app Tinder, but basically you swipe left or right to indicate that you like another character on the dating app. If you swipe one direction, it says, no, I'm not interested. If you swipe the other direction, it says, yes, I am interested. So what we proposed was to have a system where the shipping companies, which is like the Coca-Colas of the world, present their shipment needs. I have a truckload of Coca-Cola. It needs to go from St. Louis to Erie, Pennsylvania. And then if that need is presented on a marketplace, you would have various other characters on the other side of the marketplace indicating their intentions, yes, I like it, or no, I don't like it, for the specific price. There's a couple things that you get with this, which is very unique. It's called polling the marketplace. So if you want to find out what's going on with 3 million, you know, carrier companies, or actually it's less, it's a couple hundred thousand carrier companies, in real time, you want to just get a snapshot image of the marketplace. Where is everybody? Where do they want to go? For how much? What type of equipment do they have? All that information you can capture with one swipe per person. But after 10 or 20 swipes, you get a good indication of what's their interest. So now you can run machine learning on it, and you can say, okay, I'm going to present the next deck of cards to this driver that's more relevant to where he is and where he wants to go and what types of shipments he likes or she likes. That's the idea. So it's a tech platform to match supply and demand on a marketplace. The back end, of course, is extremely complex to actually achieve that.
Danny, can you describe your role and job functions for being a global supply chain strategist at LP?
Solve problems. At a very basic level, solve problems. And I don't know what that problem's going to be until I capture the information from my network of people. So someone says, adding Danny, and I get these emails and I joke about them all the time because now I have like 5 or 6 emails below that to read. But you go through those emails and I'm like, okay, I can help. I know how to break this problem apart into subtasks and who needs to be working on what or who I need to get informed because it's going to impact them. Basically just seeing the big picture, connecting the dots, and getting to the goal. That's kind of what I do. So it's everything from client facing. We want to put together a proposal to something that's much more detailed in setting up an operation. We have a client that came on about the time that I was getting on board, and Yuri said, Danny, you just take this, just handle it, whatever needs to get done. And it's a very big client, a very important one, and I had to spec out all the processes for what we would do with our personnel, what teams needed to get set up in what countries, what type of IT platform we needed to provide so that the customer could consume information correctly, what they need to see on that platform, so all the details. But you start high level. You always start with a goal. What is it we're trying to accomplish? And I think it was Einstein who said it, like, if I had an hour to solve a problem. I'd spend 55 minutes defining the problem and 5 minutes solving it. So a lot of what we do is problem definition, figuring out exactly what's the goal, what are we trying to achieve, and then you can decompose that in a tree to how we're going to get done, who's going to do it, when's it going to happen, why, all that stuff. And then also I'll say, like, communication is huge. I do a lot of visual communications because with international supply chains, they're complicated. And to a layperson, these are not concepts that anyone cares about. Incoterms, who's responsible for what and when, how the information and the money and the product flows. Flows are difficult to understand unless you're visualizing those. So I spend a lot of time putting together visual representations of what we're seeing in terms of product flow or money flow or information flow and who needs to know what and when. So a lot of diagrams to make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Can you share more about co-starting a tech startup within the logistics space and what is the goal of that company?
Right. So we kind of mentioned with the patent a little bit, one aspect of the problem is matching these different participants that are involved in a shipment transaction, right? There's the shippers that make stuff and need to move it from point A to point B, and then there's carriers that actually do the work and move it from point A to point B. But if you picture that shipment transaction, there's actually potentially a lot more characters involved. So the shipper, the consignee receives the freight, the carrier company owns a whole bunch of trucks, the truck driver drives the trucks, you've sometimes got international shipments that involve the government, customs brokers, tons of different characters get involved depending on the type of shipment and the complexity. So this is akin to what we would call like a multiplayer distributed problem. Just like a massive multiplayer game. How do you get 100 people to play the same game on the same level at the same time? That's kind of the type of problem that this is get everyone to play all at the same time about one shipment, one case. But this relationship that all these people have at the same time, it's not going to be the same tomorrow. The next shipment, you may work with a carrier company once and only once. In the whole existence of your enterprise, you may never cross paths with that company ever again. So people need to jump on and get off at a transactional level, at a case management level, and that's a unique type of problem to solve. So we tried a couple different ways to solve it. We did the whole Silicon Valley thing. We raised a ton of money and hired engineers, and we did the traditional way of developing apps. We were going to do an app for every participant. And, you know, you hit obstacles along the way. This problem is extremely complex, and most of the complexity is at the edges. So a shipment's a shipment, but a milk shipment is different than an ice cream shipment, is different than industrial shipment, is different than a flatbed shipment. There's just so much different types at the edges that one app doesn't solve the problem. And you need to have the right interface for the right person at the right time based off their context. And that problem is a totally different type of problem that takes a different type of architecture. It takes general AI for enterprise. So that's what we ended up working on for a couple of years after figuring out what doesn't work.
How has your work in the startup space helped you in your current role with LP?
I think in terms of being okay with not having the answer and spending years just trying to push and figure out what's the right way to go forward, that gives you a different perspective on things. It's okay to not have the answer immediately. If you want to do something right, you need to think about it and spend time on it and make sure that all the right stakeholders are aware of the same goal that you're working on. That way you can work efficiently towards things. I think I got a lot of confidence, for sure, in the startup journey. You know, we didn't have the kind of exit that you brag about. We had the other kind of exit, but it's okay because we still produced a ton of great knowledge, and that knowledge is available. It's cool. we helped push the thinking forward on this industry. I have no regrets at all about that experience. Then at the same time, you come back to something that's more practical. What Logistics Plus does on a daily basis is solve that same multiplayer distributed problem, but on a client-by-client basis. So when we set up a solution here, it's not abstract for the entire world. It's zoomed in for a specific client and tailored to their needs. I can very easily assimilate and get into solving those problems because I've done it at a different level. That's the big connection for me.
Danny, are there any interesting or new developments on the technology side of things at LP?
Oh my God, yeah. So I would defer to the CTO. Emil's on top of several different platforms that we're engaging with. We do some in-house development. We have our own systems. eShip Plus is client-facing for domestic trucking. We leverage CargoWise as our international trade management system. MyLogisticsPlus.net is the capstone system that we're feeding information into. And then we report on that information. So all the milestones for every shipment, all of the information that we capture about different carriers and different locations in the world, we can report on all that information with really great interfaces that we've harnessed. Click is a company. It's off-the-shelf software that you need to pull the data that you collect from each transaction and then be able to, in real time, pivot and reflect that in ways that are visual. So the same way I like to communicate visually, Click interface allows our clients to really quickly go in and harvest the BI, the business intelligence that they want to get out of their own shipment information. Of course, everything's secure. It's all encrypted, password protected. We do also utilize other third parties to put together new solutions. And it's generally the same story that Logistics Plus has come across in the last 23 years. Clients come to us when there's no other place to go. Hey, I'm looking to solve this problem. The big guys or whoever XYZ is saying, no, that's not really our core competency. We need help though. Can you help us solve the problem? Here's the goal. And we think about it and we're like, yeah, it's possible. It requires a novel solution that's going to be both people and process and tech. So we just figure out which pieces of those to put together. A good example is freight bill auditing. That's a capability that we're deploying now. Clients are coming to us saying, we want a 4PL solution. We don't necessarily want you to be a carrier, but we want you to be a referee. So what does that system look like? What does that process flow look like for you to capture that information? If you're to audit all the freight payments that we make to our carriers, how do you get that done? So again, another technology solution that we're incorporating. And every one of these things we call a capability. So sometimes a client comes to us and says, great example with furniture, fixtures, and equipment. 3 years ago, it wasn't really a capability of ours, but we could do it. And now it's one of our core capabilities that we offer to the largest furniture, fixtures, and equipment companies in the world. And we do it really well. So more and more are coming to us.
Now, Danny, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what does the future hold for LP?
I put it on a spectrum. So it goes back to that concept of complexity. Different clients have different needs. Very simple clients who do one shipment per, and I'll focus on shipments because that's just one aspect of supply chain, but it's the logistics aspect. So let's say a client does one shipment every couple weeks. It might be most appropriate for them to go to a spot marketplace to find who's that carrier going to be. It's just one every couple weeks. They're price sensitive, so they're going to ask several different carriers, effectively, what's your rate for this? $800? Okay, what's your rate? $750? Oh, that's better. Okay, yeah. And how about you? What's your rate? $600? All right, cool. I'll go with you for this one shipment. And I'll try again in 3 weeks. It's a very transactional type of interaction. More complex supply chains, they say, all right, we do 100 shipments a day from this facility to all these destinations. There's some consistency. So let's contract with a carrier. We're going to do an annual contract, and we're going to get the best rates for all these lanes that we do from this origin to these destinations so that throughout the year, whenever one of these shipments comes up, which is every day, we know what the rate's going to be. We don't have to go through all that aggravating, negotiating, and price hunting every time. We do it once a year, and then we set up those contracts. Good. If you go even to the more complex companies, they say things like, transportation, it's not really our core competency. We make engines or pogo sticks or socks. So maybe it'd be better if we have like a director of logistics, but then outsource a lot of the actual work that's done to a 4PL. So Logistics Plus puts on the hat of that client, and we are effectively their outsourced logistics department, or to some degree operating as their agent, right? A representative of them. Then I would say the most complex companies that we're seeing more of go beyond just the logistics function, deeper into the greater, I'd say, supply chain function, procurement, maybe even customer service. So now we're hitting different functions that they're outsourcing all of that to Logistics Plus. We are their team. We are an extension of that company, not just the logistics department, but their team. Each one of those four aspects on the spectrum, if it's transactional or contracted or 4PL managed or really deep into other functions like the whole supply chain, they have different technology needs. And then within those, you've got, I'd say, four different levels of people that need interfaces. Executives, they care about aggregate level reporting. They want to know the bottom line. Managers need to manage teams of people. And then coordinators, I'd say, on the third level, care about the interactions across different departments or maybe across different organizations, upstream to their supplier, downstream to their customer. And then at the very bottom, you've got operators. The type of interface they need is also very different. They got to push buttons, pull levers, indicate when something delivered, right? So all of that complexity means that someone who's involved needs to be able to submit information to the system and also retrieve information from the system. So there's plenty of pipeline work to be done to solve those problems, but it's done in a structured way.
Finally, Danny, we've interviewed dozens of LP employees over the last couple of years, and we always have to ask, in your own words, what makes LP such a great company?
It's the people. It's the people and the mindset, the culture. So the biggest risk for the long term in any company, startups included, I mean, think about Apple, right? It changed when Steve Jobs wasn't there anymore. You need to make it something that's sustainable and special, but you know, right now LP's awesome. Jim's here and everything's fantastic. And I think we're setting things up in a way that we can manage it in a distributed fashion no matter what happens. So, you know, for the short term, the near term, I would say that what makes it special is the mindset, the freedom to solve problems, and the support that you need to get that all done. I like the culture that's been set from the top down, and I will do my part to make sure it stays that way.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at noon. Join us again next week, as Dr. Ford is in the business spotlight.